Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler and this week's guest for me sums up the wide array of Wolves supporters in this fair Emerald Isle of ours. I got a message from Derek Turner, one of our supporters in the Midlands, a couple of weeks ago about a chap that he met on Twitter who was born in Wolverhampton, moved over to Ireland 3 years ago to take a job with the FAI. And a passionate Wolves supporter. So got in touch and met with Adam Thompson. And this is the result of that meeting. Hope you enjoy it. Adam, how are you doing? Good to talk to you.
I'm good. How about yourself?
Great. Yeah, I was going to ask you, when you were growing up, first of all, did you play football and where?
Yeah, I would have played junior football with a club. So I grew up in Wolverhampton. I grew up in Bushbury, Four Daisies area. Yeah. So I would have grown up around there, and I would play for a team called Lucas Aerospace. And the unique thing about Lucas was they played in green and white hoops,
yeah,
which was great, you know, because people always used to see the photos and used to think we were sort of like almost like a Celtic team, or you know, or connected with Ireland, or connected with actually, I'm sure a few listeners would know, like, you know, the Emerald Club in Wolverhampton, but
yeah,
we weren't. We were just purely, it was green and white, and the badge of Lucas at the time, the logo for them was green and white. So I played with them for a few years, and yeah, it was great. And later moved to Ashford Park Rangers, because Ashford Park was where I was born around there, grew up my first years. And then later, I think the last club I played for was East Park. But looking back, yeah, I wish I'd kind of stayed with a club and played throughout my teens.
I assume where you were born and grew up, that was it just a matter of time before you started following Wolves?
Well, the thing is, when I grew up, for me, like, there was no other choice. I actually cannot remember football before Wolves. It's always been Wolves. It's always been, everything has been so closely connected. I can't remember even thinking about, when I think football and how I first started watching it, it's there. I remember I have a kind of like blurry memory of watching a Wolves game and what was on Central News at the time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it was watching that first and then going to my first game later on. But I had friends, the majority of my friends were Wolves fans, but I had a couple of friends who were Liverpool fans, a couple of friends who were Man United fans. And you'd see them kind of like, you know, even like the 96 Cup final when Liverpool were playing Man United, it was the, kind of the split of the rivalry.
Yeah.
But for me, it was always Wolves. It was always Wolves, always Wolves,
yeah,
no matter what. And it was, as you say, it was a matter of time. And I think they were the only two, the two friends who didn't support Wolves. Everybody else was that.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's funny, I was thinking that so many people that I talked to, and as you were saying there, why do you support, you know, you support Wolves? Why do you support Wolves? I said, nobody ever asked a Liverpool or a Man United supporter in Ireland, why do they support them? You know, but as a Wolves supporter, you have to have, you know, well, why do you support them?
Do you know what I find quite funny? And it's since I've moved over. So I moved to Ireland in 2018. So that's why a lot of my friends thanked me for moving, for Wolves getting promoted. They moved and then a few months later, they got promoted. And I remember being in a bar, and it was against Liverpool. And this Liverpool fan was completely, completely thrown off that there was a fan that wasn't Man United or Arsenal. So he's probably gone down and watched his game thinking, it's Wolves and not an issue.
Yeah.
But didn't know how to approach it, didn't know what to expect. And you could see this guy, I still remember where it was, and he was just increasingly getting more frustrated and animated, because I would imagine he probably prepared the whole week thinking, okay, it's Liverpool, Man United, I'm going to the pub at the weekend, I know I'm going to get a bit of stick, I'm going to get a bit of slagging, or if it's Arsenal.
Yeah.
But when I was there, and my missus, who's a dub, and she's now following Wolves, was that this guy you could see was getting a bit more tetchy, and it was unusual for him to see somebody who wasn't, let's say, of the so-called big six.
Yeah.
And I always find that funny, but I will always say that whenever you speak to these lads, they are completely fascinated, as has been picked up on a couple of other podcasts,
yeah,
that you've done, that you do support Wolves and want to know the story. And you're right, you don't get that with Liverpool, Man United.
No, it's always assumed, like, well, they were the big team when you were growing up, or, you know, whatever.
Absolutely.
But, it's more than support. Nearly, it's, you know, it's part of your life. You know, well, a lot of us here find that anyway. You know, it took over until 12 months ago,
and that's it. And I think one of the things, certainly growing up in Wolverhampton, living and breathing the club and what it means, and everywhere you go. It's all gold and black. It's the wolf head. It's one of the first things you took. You know, when you're a kid and you're doodling on your school book, and the wolf head was one of the first things you learned how to draw. You know, and it is so ingrained in the culture of Wolverhampton. And I always say to people, even if you're not a Wolves fan, when you move to Wolverhampton, you'll end up following them. You'll end up following them even if you don't get to games, because it is what I believe is the absolute lifeblood of that city. Everybody talks about them. Yeah. You've got nothing to say to someone at a bus stop. You can say, oh, what do you think about the Wolves result, or what do you think about the new manager?
Yeah.
There's not much in Wolverhampton. We're very aloof in our attitude to a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Wolves, we're all over it. I mean, look, 100,000 on the street when we got promoted.
Yeah, yeah.
That's more than a third of our population. Yeah. That's incredible scene. Yeah, incredible scene.
It's amazing. You mentioned first game earlier on there. What was the first game you actually managed to get to?
Yeah, so I have to look back for this. And it was Wolves v Notts County in November 1993. It was a 3-0 win. The goal scorers that day were Kevin Keane, Paul Birch, Steve Ball. I remember going to this game. I was going with my dad and his friends, and I spent the game saying to my dad, which one's David Kelly? Which one's David Kelly? That was the name I picked on first, which is, you know, quite funny considering, you know, what I'm doing now as well, being an Irish international and stuff.
Yeah.
But my dad's like, the one you want to be looking at, Steve Ball. Steve Ball's like the main guy. And I was like, show me David Kelly. And, you know, Bully goes and scores a goal on the day and you know, and what have you. But I always remember that. And if memory serves you right, I'm not sure if this is kind of one of those memories which has kind of been swayed by people talking about it later on. But I seem to remember going to the game. Molineux wasn't fully built as it is now.
Yeah.
And I'm fairly certain that I remember a builder watching the game from behind the scaffolding on a half-built, I believe it was the North Bank. And just watching the game, and I just remember thinking to myself, is that what happens now? Like, you finish work, you just get to watch the game. It's brilliant. And I have no memories of Molineux before that. Yeah. I have no memories of the condemned stands, the dilapidated South Bank, was my first memory, which was this kind of like golden shrine of a football stadium that, you know, the bright light, the lights. That's why I still get that nostalgia when I get to a night game at Molineux, is that because that my first game is a night game. Yeah.
So just on just the class, what would be, say, your most memorable or most memorable games? Probably is an easier title than game. Narrow it down to one.
I really had to think about this one. Really had to think, because there's games which I wasn't at, but I enjoyed watching it as a spectacle. And there was games I went to, which perhaps wouldn't make many people's list, but purely just the day, or, you know, we know where it's like the away days, the whole day is the whole, it'd be amazing. And the game just is the cherry on the top of it. And I think in terms of games that I went to, one that sticks out, and I can't believe how many times I mentioned it really, is I remember Wolves v Leicester in the Cup, the FA Cup, about 95. David Kelly with a diving header.
Yeah.
That's one that really stands out. I think that was the first time I watched Wolves beat a Premier League side.
Yeah.
So that one stands out for me, and I love that. And it was a great goal too. I think it started with David Kelly doing a dummy on the halfway line, and he ends up finishing it off. Then, of course, the playoff final, which I still got to stand, I think is probably the most important game Wolves have had in, at least since the League Cup final. Because I just think it just, not only was it massive for the club, I just think it changed the mentality of the city.
Yeah.
I'd grown up watching us in playoffs. You lose to Bolton, you lose to, who was it?
Palace.
Norwich.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm probably missing another close call. We had all these close calls in the 90s, and you think, can you do it? And that was the game, I think, just broke a massive mental block. And it broke a mental block in our fan base, but broke a mental block, I think, for the city as well, which was kind of feeling like, no matter what was going on, no matter what we did, it wasn't working. That game was just like living in a dream. I just couldn't believe what was happening. I didn't celebrate the last two goals because I was in pure shock.
Yeah.
I was just stood there. I didn't move. I remember the first goal went in and it was completely delirious and I broke down in tears.
Yeah.
And the second goal went in and I didn't move. I still remember just the absolute pandemonium around me. And I felt like I was in some kind of theatre performance because it's just something I've never experienced. And then when Miller scores the third, you're thinking, this is Wolves. Like, Wolves could be 3-0 up with 5 minutes to go and they'll find a way to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. You know, they really have got this. And I think still to that day, it was a bit strange, really, because you've got the games now and people have got phones and they've been able to...
Yeah.
They've got mobile phones and cameras and they're able to record. And I look back and it's the only time I went to a game where I got photos, an actual Polaroid, well, not Polaroid, but printed photographs that I've still got. And I'm so glad I got photos on that day, but, you know, it was outrageous. And then I think for me, another game I went to the year after was Man United, beating Man United 1-0, Kenny Miller.
Miller,
I think that game as well was growing up, and you had people in our school who were Man United fans for years that just jumped on the bandwagon.
giving Wolves stick.
And the year before as well, like unnecessarily sticking the boot in because we failed to get promoted. Then we go back up to the Premier League. And I remember we played them at Old Trafford, and I think that was the game when everybody came away from a defeat that felt like a win. Henry Kamara should have scored. John O'Shea, who's now our under-21 coach, he's the guy, I think he scored the winner, I think, for Man United that day. And then that goal, but when we beat them, I'll never forget after that game, me and my friends went, I can't believe we've just seen us beat this Man United team. You know, Roy Keane's in it, Van Nistelrooy, Cristiano Ronaldo, getting marked by Lee Naylor. And this Paul Scholes, it's an outrageous team. And I look back and go, how did that team beat that Man United team? It's amazing. And just one of the cruelest and the biggest tormentors for us throughout that school year was this Man United fan. And when we got on the bus, who was the first face we saw on this bus, minding his business, going about town, was this lad. And I still remember him seeing us on the bus, and he just didn't know what to do. Stuck in traffic on the Stafford Road on this bus, and for 45 minutes from Five Ways Island near the mosque all the way down to what was the old bowling alley, Strikers, which is now KFC. This poor guy stuck in traffic and we just gave him abuse. It was brilliant. I still remember that. It was great. And of course, you know, you got the Wolves 4, Leeds 3. That Easter weekend game, Dave Edwards at the last minute header. What a game. Just great game. And then I just say to you there, I think, you know, for me, I'd always been dreamed of watching Wolves in Europe. Well, I managed to do that, watching us against Braga out in Portugal. Dream come true. And to see us go 3-1 up, you're just like, I can't believe this. Sure enough, we ended 3-3, but you know what? Watched us in Europe, I couldn't care less.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. We probably saw you at some stage. We were over there for that. We actually got to all the games bar Punic and then Bratislava, where you weren't allowed to anyway. But I know I just had this feeling that, probably a bit like yourself, that whereas a little part of the brain is telling us that this is the start of something, there's another part of the brain telling you this could be the last time we'll see Europe for...
And I think you're right. And that was certainly my motivation. And it was something that I'd earmarked for months and said, that's the game. You know, with the job that I do as well, like it's difficult to kind of like take time off during the season to nip across and watch a game. But with this one in particular, I made sure I could go, and I did. And I just can't believe it's the last Wolves game I went to. Can't believe it. It just seemed absolute an age away.
Yeah.
And I'm just so glad I went there. But look, in terms of games I go to, those were. But the other games, I think, in terms of favourite games, look, Cardiff beat Wolves when we had the double penalty missed in the last minute. They were, you know, from Cardiff.
I still watched that.
The Man United quarter final as well, where Jota ran through, and I think Luke Shaw, if I hadn't seen him playing as left back for England the other day, I would have swore he was still at Molineux because he was still planted there.
He demolished him.
And if you want to talk about stuff, I think, which look, people say, you know, there's no pictures on scorecards, but when you look back on teams you've beaten in a European campaign, beating Besiktas 4-0, I mean, that's something like when you look back and go, wow, it always looks good to see that fixture, and we beat a team that quality.
They were a tough team. It was amazing. We could tore them apart.
Absolutely.
So on the getting to individuals then, who would have been your favourite player over the... I know you mentioned one or two there, David Kelly and that, but who would have been your favourite players?
I'm genuinely not saying this because I live in Ireland and work with the Football Association of Ireland, but honestly, I grew up absolutely adoring Robbie Keane. I think the impact of what he did, we want to talk about players who have come through our academy, right? The academy system, which Graham Taylor put a lot of work and building blocks in place. Yeah. I think he's rightly recognised now, the great Graham Taylor now, that what he did when he recognised. Robbie Keane, even if we're not going to talk about his impact at Wolves, but we're going to talk about a great player who, or a player who went on to be a great player.
Yeah.
What he's achieved internationally, what he's achieved at other clubs and where he played, we should be so, so proud that he come through our system. And I'm genuinely not saying, there's records of me on other podcasts from before I moved across the Irish Sea, and Robbie was always the one, because I just think he was the first superstar. There was the first player that I looked and I thought, wow, he played for Wolves, this guy.
Yeah.
Look at him now, look at him playing international football, look at him at World Cup.
Yeah.
Look at him, you know, Robbie Keane was with us. And then a few months later, not even years, maybe a few months after Wolves, after his commentary spell, he's in the same side as Christian Vieri and the great Brazilian Ronaldo.
Yeah.
This is how class this guy is.
Yeah.
Now, people might say, well, the player he was, he went on to Tottenham and Leeds, is a totally different player than what he was at Wolves. That's right. But in terms of a player who come through our system, he was my favourite.
Yeah.
He was my favourite. And you know, absolute, got nothing but, I always had a candle for him. And every transfer window, when there was rumours of him coming back, I was like, please, let it happen, you know.
Yeah, so. And I'll still try and blot out that when he did come back to Molineux with Villa. I'm still trying to blot that game. You know what I mean?
It just goes to show he was a winner. He was ruthless. It didn't matter. It was a club that he had sentimental value to. He was scoring hat tricks, and people will be upset by that. But I admire somebody who has that kind of ruthlessness.
Yeah. Well,
he's there for a job.
Yeah.
If he doesn't do it.
Yeah, it's funny because that day, for some reason, I can't remember, but I was actually on the South Bank, just to the right of the goal, where he scored the two goals. I think Keighley scored it one in the first half, and then Keane scored the two goals into the South Bank in the second half, and like as if somebody was sending a message, these things are always going to be here to get to you, you know? it's never going to be plain sailing.
Robbie will always be as special, because he was the first superstar, you know, to come through our academy, and to watch his progression. Okay, it was away from Wolves, and I still remember how gutted I was when he left Wolves, and remember seeing it on the back pages of the Express and Stars. Oh my God, I can't believe he's actually gone. But he was one, and listen, it just goes without saying, doesn't it, Bully? Just Steve Ball and what he achieved with us.
Yeah.
Dragged us from the absolute doldrums of the English football pyramid to a position where we could be playing Premier League football. That guy he's got his place in history, and ever shall it remain. For a local lad to do that, for a lad to then go and play a World Cup as well. It's an astonishing story.
Yeah, from playing the Championship at the time, like, you know, being in the World Cup squad. Yeah, he was over with us there in 2019.
That's right, yeah.
I had him up in Murray's in O'Connor Street. It was a great day, and I mean, he just settled in. I mean, if anybody that walked in afterwards looked up at the bar, you wouldn't think there was a superstar, a hero of every Wolves supporter sitting there amongst the lads, just having a chat, having the banter, you know. So
I don't think people realise. I think people of other clubs, it's still of a certain generation. If I say to people I support Wolves, the first thing they'll mention is Steve Ball.
Yeah.
Straight away they go to Steve Ball.
Yeah.
Somebody who wasn't even a Premier League player
to
still have that persona and that impact on fans of other clubs who didn't know.
Yeah.
It's incredible. But I think if he was playing, I don't think fans of Liverpool, Man United, Arsenal, all those type of teams realised just how big Steve Ball was for our club, what he meant for our city, what he actually achieved without achieving, let's say a title or, you know, something like an FA Cup. But what he did, he wrote himself into the history and has made himself now a part of fabric of one of English football's great clubs, right? Which I don't mind saying, because that's what I truly believe we are.
Yeah.
Whereas you can see a lad who'll go and play one season at Arsenal, pick up an FA Cup medal, and no one ever remembers them. Yeah. Bully left a legacy. And no one can ever change that. Yeah. And you've got to weigh that up. Is that more than a medal for the fans? Absolutely.
I mean, when you were saying that, like, dragging us from the fourth division all the way back up, like, I mean, a lot of fans tend to forget. I mean, Sunderland now, we're a huge club. They can't get out of the third division. We'll talk old money. Yeah. And, I mean, Man City,
what, 10, 12 years ago, were in the third division as well. And Leeds, yeah. Fans tend to forget very easily. I mean, I know for us, you're going back another 25, 30 years for when we were in the lower division. But, you know, as you say, once winning an FA Cup, as opposed to getting from jumping two, three divisions in the, you know, up the ladder, it's hard to get back into the big time.
There's a friend of mine who I work with, is a huge Everton fan and proud that Everton have never been relegated. And I said to him, I said, but you don't understand. Like, when you go to different stadiums and your team winning is your team winning.
Yeah.
And you can get as much enjoyment out of your team winning in League One or League Two as you could playing in the Premier League. And you need to understand that.
Yeah.
I said, and you won't understand that because you're like, oh, but we've never been relegated. But you can have the time of your life as a fan watching your team in League One. And League One season up until Nuno's year when he came with us and won the championship was my favourite year as a Wolves fan. The League One championship season, the League One season we won the league, I prefer it over Mick winning the 2009 championship. I prefer it over Dave Jones when we went up in the playoffs. I loved that season. It was so enjoyable.
Yeah.
It was great. It was my age, but I don't know. I just really enjoyed it as a year. And then Nuno winning the league, 2018, beat that.
Yeah. Well, I suppose the League One came after three tough seasons in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Down to the championship.
It was 4 years of relegation battles, to be serious. I mean, three Premier League seasons fighting against relegation, eventually fall through the trapdoor, no plan B in place, and that's why we ended up slipping into League One. But we talk about teams that are stuck in League One. You know, how a team like Sunderland are down there, Portsmouth are down there, Nottingham Forest were down there for a spell, Leicester City were down there. Real big team. Sheffield Wednesday are playing in that league. How's a team like Sheffield Wednesday in, you know, when huge clubs that are in that division, you think they could be down there for a good while.
Yeah.
And we were very fortunate that we bounced back straight away.
Yeah.
Very fortunate.
Yeah. And I look at it kind of similar to Nuno getting us up 2018. And when you look back, you say, God, we destroyed the league that time. But when you think back match by match, every match, like say with Nuno, the Cardiff game, the Bristol City game, and in League One was that there were certain games. Orient, I think Sheffield United were in amongst stages.
Yeah, there was Sheffield United.
At the time, there were huge games, and to win them and to get the points was vital. That we, you know, you don't win the league by 10 points. Kind of, you know, in the last two games, you do it by winning the games all the way through, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, and it was great. I think a lot of, and a couple of the lads that I travel over with, you were sitting there, you know, it's League One and you're playing Chesterfield or whoever you're playing. But like, to be actually in Molineux and to see us winning again after 4 years of pain, you know.
You're absolutely right. Do you know what? I mean, we talk about favourite games I've been to. It completely slipped my mind there. MK Dons away when we took, definitely 10,000, because I think there's a good few thousand in the MK Dons then.
Yeah.
You know, for me personally, I used to work covering MK Dons as a journalist years ago when I was there, and to then go back there as a Wolves fan, that whole anticipation, had a feel of a cup final. We completely took over Bletchley, where the team's based.
Yeah.
And I was working for the Express and Star at the time. And I remember, usually what happened was, whenever there was big numbers travelling away, you contact the local police force and you go, have you got any information on what pubs are the official allocated away cup? And Thames Valley Police haven't really got any team of, and I mean to say this because that's a bit disrespectful, but they haven't got a like of like a Man United, a Man City, or big, huge travelling numbers.
Yeah.
They haven't got fan bases that travel in big, big numbers, whereas the Midlands have got Wolves, West Brom, Birmingham, Aston Villa, you know, those teams. And they haven't really got a team. So when I called them, I still remember to this day, this police officer, or the media officer for Thames Valley Police is saying, oh, no, if we tell you which pubs are going to, it shows that we're being biased towards one business. And so we don't want to show bias. And I went, I remember saying to him, there are 10,000 Wolves fans expected in Milton Keynes tomorrow, and you're not going to tell them which pubs to go to. And he was like, no, we can't do that. And I went, okay, good luck. All the best. Not a problem. And they called me back some time after. It's like, yeah, we actually think it might be a better idea just to let you know. Which, I went, that sounds a good idea, doesn't it? So let us know which pubs that the Wolves fans can go to. rather than just kind of letting the run riot wherever.
Scattered around. Because the funny bit, we were in, it was Peterborough. We walked from the station and there was a line of police. We'll give them a bit of good press for a change. There was a police woman and we walked up and we kind of, that's the pub. It was down in the basement, was where they wanted to send us. And we kind of went down and, oh, no. Back up again. Oh, we can't go in there. It's no good. So don't like it. So, oh, no. I'm just going to turn my back, she says. And if you just go down the road there, there's a nice pub on the left, you know. So she turned around and we just, three of us just sleep ass and walked down and in. And it was fine. No bother.
In all seriousness, I found that as being the attitude of most police on away game has been like, look, lads, this is officially what we can tell you, but heads up, a bit of conversation, there's all fine.
Yeah.
And I'm all for that.
Yeah. But as you say, I mean, and that's how you get headlines of, as you say, 10,000 people wrecking a city because they didn't know where to go. You know, they didn't know where to go and they're going around and they're being refused everywhere. You know, just have... I mean, I remember Huddersfield.
Would you be familiar with Milton Keynes anyway? Milton Keynes is a completely... Milton Keynes is, if you've ever been over to... So if anyone's listening who's familiar with Telford, imagine something about twice the size of Telford where it's literally dual carriageways and roundabouts.
Yeah.
There's no kind of town centre.
Yeah.
There's no town centre in kind of you branch out. It is a shopping centre and it's dual carriageways. And that's your lot. So it's not walk friendly to take the walk to places.
I think I've just discovered why a couple of lads that we meet in the Western and we're good. We have a WhatsApp group and everything. They're from Milton Keynes,
by the way.
They're from Milton Keynes, so that's why they end up supporting Wolves. I'd say I never asked them.
There is, you know what? It's talk about clubs that do a lot for the community. MK Dons have worked very, very hard. They're doing a lot, very good.
That's it. The history of Wimbledon, I suppose, as well, is another. That's another podcast, at least. Because they're the kind of the bad guys of Wimbledon, aren't they?
They are aware of that. But that's why I think why they work doubly hard. Like,
I suppose that we'll probably end up wrap it up in fairly shortly. Just to step on from players and that. What about managers? I mean, it's different areas, different managers. They've been successful in their own ways, but who are the standout managers in your time supporting Wolves?
If we want to talk about characters, Mick McCarthy.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about characters, you know. And I've had the pleasure of working with Mick. Sure, you know, as not as hands-on as other people in my department who I work with, but I would say in those moments that I have, it's everything you could expect. Absolutely see why he was so popular with players, why he was so popular with the hierarchy, why he's still held in such high esteem by many people in Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
You know, I think he was fantastic. He takes a certain character to be a Wolves manager for 6 years with Mick manager, I think it was. That's almost an achievement in itself, you know, considering the turnover of managers. But I think in terms of characters, but I think in terms of memories that manager gave me, it would be Nuno, you know, in Cardiff. You know, the game against Cardiff, the game against Middlesbrough as well. People forget, you know, we had two reds. Then we've got the cup quarterfinal against Man United. People don't like to talk about the semi-final and Watford, but when Jimenez hit the second goal, I still remember looking up at the heavens and thinking, this is one of the highs of my life, to watch us 2-0 up at Wembley.
Yeah.
Of course, it all capitulated after then, you know what I mean? And but still, that was a moment which lives with me. And then, of course, getting to Europe. And you look at Sevilla and what a club Sevilla are, you know. And we went toe-to-toe for them until late on into that game. An exhausted Wolves team went toe-to-toe with them.
Yeah, everyone tends to forget the penalty miss at the start. I mean, you can wonder what the game would have been like if we'd scored that goal.
Exactly. I mean, look, they're all ifs and buts. So, but we talk about memories and so many great memories. And just you're watching there, you're thinking, I am watching a great side here. Watching some of the players that I've got to watch in the last few years. It's been an absolute privilege.
And I suppose
characters would be making. And I think for memories created would certainly be Nuno.
So start trying to wrap it up now. Just one.
I know, I'll have you chatting all day, Tony.
that's not as difficult as you might think. But just for, I suppose it's a bit like trying to stick your head into a cloud. But what are you hoping for in the next couple of months when the league starts? And
without a doubt, because I think that it's imperative that we But this time next year, we're still a Premier League club. And I think if we finish in the same spot this season as we did last season under Nuno, I will take that. I certainly, one thing I really, really certainly appreciate more now, moving outside of England, moving outside of Wolverhampton, is just how massive the Premier League is.
Yeah.
Just how big it is for us. You know, people could talk about the Premier League being the best league in the world, whether that's quality, but one thing I will say, it's the most famous league in the world. You can watch a Premier League game in practically any country.
Yeah.
For only 20 places in this global brand to be available, and for Wolves to be one of those, and for Wolves to finish top seven in that, and then for Wolves to go anywhere in the world, and you can mention the Premier League and go, I support one of our teams.
Yeah.
That is something we should not be looking to relinquish easily.
Yeah.
True. You could go, you mentioned Wolverhampton, people know Wolves. So this manager, if he could come in, keep Wolves there, and then start to build. Now, his experience is limited, but what the experience he has, he's got success. Does he have the players to do it? You can't do something like that overnight. If we've been playing conservative football, you can't turn them into swashbuckling, all-out attack side overnight. But what I did see is that we did attempt that at times last season under Nuno. We just didn't have the defenders to execute it because we were constantly being caught on the back foot. We could strengthen the defence and really maximise Neto, Traore, Jimenez when he returns.
Yeah.
You're going to have a look to see if certain players are staying. Then I really think, you know, we can achieve that.
Yeah.
But I think it could be a difficult season, really difficult season. And if we can finish back in that league next season, I will take that and then build on. I think this is something which isn't 1 year. This is going to be at least a 2 year project. I think changing managers is, we've got to accept at least 18 months of transition or change.
Yeah.
That's just my view. I hope he sets the place on fire. I really do. It'd be unreal.
Yeah. It's the first time we've changed a manager in where we've been a Premier League club. You know, I wouldn't call it Mick McCarthy. Terry Connor now has been in that category because that just...
That was firefighting, wasn't it? That was an attempt to keep us in the Premier League, whereas I think this is now us looking to change. As the word they've used is the new cycle of players. And the one thing I am thankful of is that he came in early.
Yeah.
He came in early, so they would have done their work. And it's actually bonkers, really. You know, Nuno was... It was announced he was leaving on that Friday, and then the game came against on the Sunday against Man United, and everyone was in a haze about how Nuno could leave.
Yeah,
and yet I did my research and I looked, and there was people talking about Bruno coming in a month before for the Portuguese press.
Yeah,
they were openly talking about it, but no one had picked up on it because it was in Portuguese.
Yeah,
so it was kind of like, he's the number one man, he's going to come in. And so it makes you think that this perhaps he may have even had more time to prepare to be the Wolves manager than we realised. And if that's the case, that gives me a lot more hope that he's come in, he's going to prepare, look at his options, I think, in a few weeks' time. And
because certainly the way you say it there, what brings to my mind is the video that was produced of him arriving at the club. It was only a couple of minutes or whatever, but like people were saying, he doesn't look very interested in all that. But I mean, it wasn't the guy who'd just been announced, maybe, you know, that he'd known weeks in advance it was happening. And so we were just, walking in to have a look, rather than being told yesterday, this is your new office, congratulations. Yeah. And he's going around.
Familiar.
You know, hopefully. Yeah, anyway, Adam, we'll keep those fingers crossed.
And I will say this is that, look, it doesn't matter. You can look at somebody on the outside could be completely cool as anything. They could be working. They could be like the swan analogy, cool on the outside, working underwater, going absolutely nuts for it. That guy wins us games, people will buy into it.
Adam, it's been great talking to you. We'll be having our AGM, I think, now, hopefully early August sometime. So there could be an invite on the cards for you. Come along.
Lovely stuff. I look forward to it. Can't wait to get back with you guys. It'd be excellent.
Great. We'll see you soon. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.